You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Second hour is live. Terrion Arnold, who could be the first cornerback taken in next week's NFL draft. He will join us live here in just a couple of moments. Dawson in Jasper, Alabama. Hello, Dawson.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. What's going on up in Walker County?
Not a thing but a bunch of rain.
Oh, wow.
I just wanted to call and to let you know a couple things. One, I appreciate what you do. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
And two, Mr. Cookie, I think he ought to be the next fan favorite. I'll go ahead and put my vote in now for next year.
Cookie was good. I'm glad you mentioned it. Hey, well, thank you very much, Dawson. You take care of yourself up there. Bob in Norman, Oklahoma is up next. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good. Are you still coming to the red and white?
Yeah, I'm coming out Friday. First time in Norman in a while. I haven't been there in about 20 years.
So how do you want me to get these books to you about the history of the Sooners?
Okay. I am trying to figure that out.
Now, are you staying at the hotel on University Boulevard?
I'm staying literally right on campus, right off campus. Let me check the address. Wrong hotel reservation. Let me hold on. Don't go anywhere. Give me one second. I've lost my hotel reservation, but I will find it for you. I hope I'm still coming out. I heard the weather's supposed to be terrible Saturday.
Well, yeah. Well, it's supposed to rain. Cold and rain. And I talked to the ticket office, and they said if it's just raining, the red and white game will still go on, but if it's lightning, they will delay it till Sunday.
Oh, okay. The hotel is on South University Boulevard.
Right. That's where I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure where I'm going to be on. If you're anywhere near there, why don't you just leave it at the front desk? I know I'll be there. I've got to interview somebody in the afternoon, but I'll have a better idea tomorrow.
On Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. When we hang up, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to have them tell them how you can contact me. That way we might be able to coordinate it.
Sounds great, Paul.
Okay. Okay, Bob, hold. We put you on hold, and they'll give you a way to get a hold of me. Squirrel is up next. Hey, Squirrel.
Appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
And interesting show the past few days. Matt, my buddy Matt from San Antonio, was giddy yesterday. I mean,
happen to hear Augie trashing you for trying to help him out?
Yeah, I heard Augie's call.
Okay,
but,
I just want to make sure.
You know, the job that I was going to help him with probably would have paid closer to $20 an hour. And
is the job still open?
You'd have had a 401k plus a pension,
okay,
which, you know, pensions are rare nowadays.
I might be interested in that job.
But, you know, Popeyes might be the avenue to the United Nations versus the warehouse. I don't know. Only time will tell us that.
Well, I think Popeyes gives him a chance probably to meet a more diverse group of people.
which he would meet in the United Nations. So
yeah, again, it would be very similar to the type of people that he would run into up there on the plaza.
But your number one leg humper, I heard his call yesterday, and he was spot on as usual. That, you know, the callers, a lot of them just suck. I mean, there's just no way to describe. Just like that clown at the bottom of the hour just a few minutes ago that came on filibustering and giving his opinion on six or seven subjects like anybody cares.
But Coral, what do you think the issue here is? Because the show is broadened. We have more people. We have more.
Get to the subject for one thing. Get straight to the point.
Okay.
Don't beat around the bush and don't feed us a bunch of mindless minutia that nobody cares about.
Okay.
Would be my advice. Did you notice who Jim compared you to yesterday?
It probably slipped my mind.
Sandy Koufax.
Oh yeah, great pitcher.
Do you remember Sandy playing? Remember Sandy, the broadcaster.
I mean, he was he had a very short career, but during a 5 or 6 year period, there's probably never been a better pitcher.
Yeah, but he retired in 66. That's why I asked, do you remember him playing as a Dodger?
I mean, I can't say I remember him. I mean, I remember when he left. I vaguely remember his retirement.
I appreciate Jim bringing up these players. I know who they are, but I remember him.
Yeah.
I appreciate him bringing them up because, you know, when you're 79 years old, the advantage of that is you got to experience the 60s. And see, I didn't get to experience the 60s from a baseball point of view. I was, just born in 58.
Yeah,
like I said, Jim brings Sandy Koufax into the conversation.
I mean, if you're 79, 66, you were what?
You were 20
years old.
When you were 15, he was born in 45, so in 1960, he would have been, 15 years old?
Yeah.
So he got to experience the prime of the 60s. And I remember the 70s. I mean, Hank Aaron and Willie Mays and all those great guys. But I missed the Sandy Koufaxes, the
Mickey Mantle,
Ted Williams, and those guys. So I envy Jim, and I am jealous of him in that regard. He says I'm jealous of him. I'm jealous of him because he experienced the 60s and I didn't.
Well, 60s baseball. 60s baseball was great. We'll continue. Terry and Arnold coming up here in a minute. Lee in Lexington, you're on the air. Hey, Lee.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. I'm a UK fan. Love our basketball, new basketball coach, our new women's coach, and our baseball team's going crazy. What do you think the chances are our football team next fall? And I'll hang up a listen. I appreciate your show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an optimist when it comes to Mark Stoops' program. Fairly disappointed last year with the way it went. I expect a better season. I think Vandergriff is going to be an upgrade over Devin Leary. I think they have a lot of compliments. I think they have a chance, 9 wins, something like that. I think that would be a really good season. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Blake in Austin is up next. Hey, Blake.
Hey, this is Burn Orange Blake from Austin, Texas. I just wanted to say that Texas, we're all looking forward to playing y'all, and we can't wait to just start kicking y'all's butt. It's coming. Just be ready for it.
Yeah, I appreciate your optimism.
Happening, man. There's no optimism. That's just what's going on.
You've had how many good seasons in the last 10, Blake?
Well, okay. How did Alabama go very far this year? No, we went to the same point. We beat them.
Here's the difference, though, Blake. Alabama had a bad season. They made it to the Final Four and lost. Texas had the best season in 10 years. They went to the Final Four and lost.
Yeah, but the whole team around Texas has completely changed. You can't compare the Sarkisian era to the Herman era. It's completely different.
Well, I'm not trying to. I'm just simply making a point that...
But the 10 years, that's not really working.
I'm just saying it didn't take Texas fans long to return to being Texas
fans. That's
who
we are, man. That's what's going down. Yeah. This is some minutia for squirrel.
I can't wait to engage with more Texas fans, Blake. If they're all like you, we're in for quite a quite an endeavor here. Tim is in Mississippi. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Paul, how are you today? I'm a first-time caller.
You're doing great. Thank you very much, Tim.
Hey, I wanted to talk about a couple things. First of all, Notre Dame football. You know, Notre Dame, it gets a bad reputation, says it can't win the big ones. You know, we've won 11 national championships, 13 actually recognized by the NCAA. The only team that's won more national championships than us is Alabama. But I hear all these SEC callers calling in, and it makes me sick to my stomach because they all think, oh, we play in the SEC. Oh, we're good. We're bad to the bone. Paul, how many teams in the SEC has actually won a national championship? Maybe three, maybe four?
Well, I could probably help you with that,
I doubt it.
Tim. Let's see, what year do we want to start here? How about 2006? You've had Florida winning. I'm just doing this by memory. Florida winning, LSU winning, Auburn winning, Alabama winning only six times, LSU another time. Tennessee won in 98. I would say a significant number of SEC teams have won national championships. Sorry, didn't mean to burst your bubble, but I think we did. We'll take a short break. A guy who knows all about playing for a national championship contender every single year is Terrion Arnold. He'll hear his name early next week in the NFL draft, and he comes up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
During Christmas time last year, I was able to go back and give my high school janitor, Mr. Joe Biggs, my college jersey. Before I left high school, I promised him I was going to give him my jersey.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
If I tell you I'm going to do something for you, I really mean that.
First time in my life, I finally look good.
Yeah. Yes, sir. He always told me, Terrion, you treat me better than I deserve to be treated. But honestly, Mr. Biz, you treat me better than I deserve to be treated. All those life lessons that I learned from working with you during 7 period, I'm glad to be a part of your journey, and I'm glad that you're a part of my journey. And I'm gonna get you my jersey to wherever I get called.
And the NFL draft is a week and a night away. We talked to Phil Yates earlier, and he mentioned Terrion Arnold, likely the first cornerback off the board. And we had a great time getting to know Terrion during the season at Alabama. He's ready for the NFL. Terrion, thank you for making time. How are you since we last saw you right before the Rose Bowl? How's everything going?
Man, you know I always love talking to you, Paul. I'm great today.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, you certainly have to have a pretty good idea what's going on next week, but kind of take us through what you're hearing from all the different variables about next Thursday night.
I'm hearing to expect the unexpected. The draft is kind of like a chess match. A lot of teams aren't going to show their hand or show their moves until it's time to make those necessary moves. So there'll be teams that trade up, teams that trade back, players that go earlier than expected, players that go later than expected. So hopefully I'm just one of those guys that go earlier than expected.
I mean, I know it's a dream, and you have to act excited, I'm sure, when you meet with teams, even maybe if you don't even want to play for them. But do you have a – I mean, is there such a thing as a wish list, or you just can't wait to get going?
Nah, I just can't wait to get going. You know, it's not like college where you just get to pick them. I don't even put it in my mind that I have a certain team that I want to play for, because teams that you've never even talked to or teams that – you don't even think have heard of you are the teams that end up drafting you sometimes. So I don't even put it in my mind.
So how, I mean, I know that when you're getting ready for pro football, you just can't go to the beach. You've got to stay in shape. You have to do all the things that are necessary. But what has life been like for you since January 1st when you played your last college game?
I went to Tampa to train at House of Athletes with Yo Murphy after the combine and after pro day. Before I had to go on my business and stuff, I've just been working out. So I went back to Tallahassee, been working out with my uncle, running track, DB drills, positional work, and just now I can finally focus on the good stuff. Like the combine, it was good and all, but sometimes it doesn't measure how great of a football player you are. Like you have athletes who can run fast, jump high, but then when you cut on the tape, you don't see any of it. So I can finally practice what I'm known and what I'm going to be doing at the next level.
Well, you know your life is about to change. That much is not in question here. But after next Thursday night, you'll be flying somewhere and getting accustomed. How do you get ready for that? Because it happens very quickly.
I started getting ready for it 3 years ago, Paul, when I decided to come to the University of Alabama. I knew this day was coming, and preparation has finally met the opportunity. So I'll be more than prepared to do that.
Well, I know we made so much out of your relationship with the Sabans, but clearly you've been around there. Things are different. Just your thoughts on the transition from coach to Kalen DeBoer and what you've been able to pick up about the team that you will not be playing for next year, and that's the 24 Crimson Tide.
Coach DeBoer, I commend the man because he has a strong sense of will. And anybody who takes that job after Coach Saban, man, as they would say, that guy has – man, he's special. Because, I mean, that's a hard job to take. That's all you got to say. But with Coach DeBoer, I got a chance to really talk to him. I addressed the team a couple of times and talked to him. And I just told the team to just love and appreciate the situation that they're in. It goes by fast. And I was just sitting in their shoes, man, literally 2-3 months ago. So with that new coach, I think it's going to be exciting. I mean, you know, coming from where he came from with the Pac-12, he's used to scoring a lot of points. Devin Miro, that's my best friend, him playing quarterback, he has the right guy to do it. So I think they're going to be an exciting team to watch. Talking to the defensive players and defensive backs, guys like Malachi Moore, Deontay Lawson, I mean, they're going to be exciting to watch too. And even the young cornerbacks, they have Damani Jackson leading the group. I think he's a very talented player, but I also see Zadian. He was in when we were preparing for Michigan, and guys like Jalen and Bogwood. Like Jalen, man, very, very talented. Watching him back there on punt return, he's going to give you flashes of just like that exciting player to watch. So, I mean, they have a lot of pieces and a lot of talented guys. So they're gonna be fun to watch.
Yeah, we were able to talk to Jalen last week. He seemed pretty confident, but still, it is quite a transition. I wouldn't say too much is made because it's such a great story, but when you were here a couple of months ago, you were talking about not only Nick Saban, but Terry Saban. Are you still talking to her?
Oh, yes. We talked last week. She was just telling me to keep an even keel mind, and your life's going to change, but you're prepared for it. So
you may have to take her with you wherever you go. I mean, she's been a good luck charm, hasn't she?
She's been a good luck charm, but She's not leaving Coach Saban. Hopefully I get the opportunity to have them come to a game. But Miss Terry, she doesn't really travel like that anymore unless it's because of Coach Saban. So you got to try to get them out there, man.
So have you crazy question, but you're done with college, at least from the practice standpoint. Have you been able to kind of take a deep breath and reflect back on the odyssey that you referred to a minute ago that was so successful that you and a couple of your teammates are obviously going to go very high next week. How do you put it into perspective?
When I went back for A-Day, it was crazy. Like, just watching the whole Tuscaloosa, Alabama buy into the whole Lank thing. Like, man, Lank shirts everywhere. This year they bought into it again as far as we have to go out there and let naysayers know. And I'm taking that with me to the draft, too. Like, and hopefully, who's to say I get my name called and you see Roger Cadell hold up Lank with me? So,
so I mean, I know that it's a big night to, you know, to shine in many different ways, especially in fashion. Don't tell me you're going to wear a Lank shirt instead of a nice suit.
I'm going to be real with you, man. Paul, you know I would never do anything like that, though.
It would be good product placement, though, wouldn't it, for the brand?
Hey, I do have it inside my suit, though. So when
I
open it, you'll see it. I do.
So what can you tell us what you'll be wearing?
Man, my suit is salmon.
Salmon?
Yeah, man.
That sounds very Nick Saban A-Day scrimmage-like, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, of all the things I'm looking forward to next Thursday night, I think it's seeing what you look like because in all the years of following the draft, I don't think I've ever seen a salmon suit.
There you go, man. And also, Paul, you never met anybody like me.
Well, that is
so there
true.
You go.
I got in trouble. I you were going by our set during right before the game, and that we happened to be sitting by a bunch of drunk Michigan fans. When I did that, they just said that was just typical. You know, Feinbaum talking to one of the Bama players right before, you know, wishing him well. But it was a nice moment though to see you and your teammates.
There you go. I was glad I got to talk to you before the game. It kind of caught me by surprise too. Oh well, there's Paul.
Well, Terry, I you're gonna have to give me the name of your tailor. I've never worn salmon, but if you look good in it, I'm all over it Friday morning.
Okay then.
Listen. Congratulations. We are all pulling for you. We love talking to you, and hopefully we'll catch up to you once you land.
Yes, sir. Thank you, bro.
Thank you. Terry and Arnold getting ready to meet the world in a salmon suit. That could be pretty crazy. We'll take a short break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
More spring games on Saturday. Mississippi State, 1 p.m. A&M at 2. South Carolina plays in primetime. And we continue. Jack is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Paul. I'm back in Savannah now, buddy. Question. I mean, this is a statement. Please stop telling people where you're going to be at when you're on location. You got people at Jim for Tuscaloosa, Iron Man for wherever hell he's from, and that job of St. Louis. The world is crazy. Stop telling people where you're going to be at, buddy. Please.
Well, Jack, thank you. I appreciate your counseling.
Okay, you're welcome. And also, now today, well, Monday was tax day.
Right.
But today is Auburn Day for me. It's 4/17. That's Miro to Isaiah Bonds to the Auburn fans.
That's great.
So guess what? Every April the 4/17, I'm going to call Law Willing, and you know, and you and Air Paul, I'll be making an annual call. Now, Ahmed, you can choke on that.
Jack, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Vance is up next in Georgia. Hey, Vance.
Hey, Paul. I know you handled this, but I can't let that Notre Dame caller get away as easy as he did. I can't do it. There's been 6 teams from the SEC win a national title. I'm going to go back to Florida's first in 95. And here's what the record, 15-6 in national championships. 3 of those 6 losses were against SEC teams.
Correct.
So I don't know where he's getting his facts from, but to pull a line out of Sanford and Son, how about that, dummy Notre Dame? That's all I really got to say today, Paul.
I'm glad you said that because it was baffling to hear him say that. But then again, the more he talked, the dumber he sounded. Thank you very much, Vance. You be well. You take care of yourself. Morgan is up next in Maryland. Hey, Morgan.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Things are great. What's up?
Greetings from Maryland. Good to hear you. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was curious if you saw the article in this past weekend's Wall Street Journal that talked about the relationship of Nick Saban and Nate Oates.
I did read that. That was very interesting.
I thought that was really even another layer of Saban's influence on mentoring and the counseling and being an influence on young people and coaches. I was really tickled to read that. I wanted to respond to, in a subtle way, to Blake, the TU caller that was just on.
Yeah.
In 2014, Paul, well, let me start out by saying, Blake, I have seen the movie that you and your Longhorns have just bought a ticket to. And that was in 2014. The University of Maryland, for financial reasons, decided to join the Big Ten. And in the 3 years leading up to 2014, they had won a number of bowl games, including the Orange Bowl, and were really feeling their oats. And they were beating up on Wake Forest, and they're beating up on Boston College and NC State. And then they got to the Big Ten, and they have not had a winning record in the Big Ten in the decade since they joined. So for Texas, for TU to be mouthing off about what they're going to do to the Big Ten when their previous opponents were the likes of BYU, Kansas State, Wyoming, Rice, University of Houston. Wait until your schedule says that you've got back-to-backs at, say, Athens, Gainesville, and Alabama's coming to town the week after that. Then we'll see what you're made of. And I'm going to predict that TU is going to have a similar experience to the University of Maryland's experience at the Big Ten. And I would love to get your feedback on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the University of Texas is well positioned for a good season and a good run. But you're right about most of what you said. It's a different game. And the attrition of playing in the SEC is different than the Big 12, and quite frankly, until this year, they didn't even handle the Big 12 very well.
100% agree. Could I squeeze in one other thought before we break?
Of course.
I really, really enjoyed that conversation you had with that gentleman about Muscle Shoals a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I just had the thought that maybe you... And then you had said that you had witnessed some songwriting or been involved in some songwriting, and given that you all need to update the jingle to include OU and TU, maybe you grab the Swampers and a jug of the clear stuff and head down to that house in the Tennessee River and hole up until a new jingle pops out.
Yeah, we're about to get an update on that, and I've never had more questions about anything than the new jingle. Hey, Morgan, thank you very, very much. A fantastic call. And many will be eager to hear it, and hopefully they'll be satisfied. Thank you very much. Let's check in with Fernando in Vegas. Hey, Fernando.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
First of all, enjoyed the conversation with the young man from Alabama. Very refreshing.
He is great.
My question is, how do you think Arkansas will do, and will they make a bowl game? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks, Fernando.
Thanks, Paul.
I think Arkansas will make a bowl game, which isn't particularly challenging anymore, but I'm not sure that I feel comfortable in saying they're going to go much beyond making a bowl game. Thank you for that. It's a real dilemma out there right now, trying to ratchet up some more offense under Bob Petrino. We check in next with Glenn, who is in Mobile, Alabama. Hey, Glenn.
Hi, good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you.
Quick question for you. As a guru of college football, I want you to explain to me why I should put my loyalties with a team where the players are not loyal to the coach, they're not loyal to the other players. All they care about is how much money they can make and how soon they can transfer to another school. Now, I'm an old school guy. Now, I realize I'm an old geezer compared to a lot of your callers. But I've been a loyal college football watcher since the 1960s, and I was loyal to one team. And wherever I've lived, I've been loyal to that team. I was loyal to Alabama all through the rough years. But I'm going to tell you, with this professional college football, it's going to be tough to be loyal to a team, in my opinion. I want you to convince me I'm wrong.
Well, Glenn, I don't think I would be successful in doing that. I understand your frustration because I've seen a lot, too, but I don't really blame the players who are getting the criticism here. They are simply taking advantage of an opportunity that they've never had before. And ultimately, go ahead.
Well, my point, what really turned my stomach against it was when I heard Miss Terry and Nick say that the parents were more concerned about the money than their child being developed and getting an education. When the parents are more worried about how much money their kid can make playing football in college and not worried about them getting an education. Look at how many college or pro football players go bankrupt every year because they have no sense of how to manage their money. What good does it do to a kid to play for 1 year, bounce to another school, play another year, take classes that are really insignificant to them, don't do them any good? If the parents are just as greedy as the players, I just don't see that this is going to get anything but worse as the years go by unless the NCAA steps in. I don't see it getting any better.
Well,
do you,
Glenn,
or am I just...
You're right about...
Am I just an old fogey?
No, you're not. You're right about that. The NCAA is not going to step in because they've already missed their window to step in, and they have allowed this to happen by doing nothing.
And we're raising a generation of 18 to 22-year-old young men who are going to be quitters. If they're not happy at the next level, they'll just quit. They'll just quit because they're not. I'm not getting to play. I'm sitting on the bench. Why should I, you know? We're just raising a generation that's not going to understand life. That's what I fear for.
Well, Glenn, thank you for saying that. I'm not going to debate you because I understand your frustration. I'm going to let that become a theme the rest of the way because I think it really is an existential question about the future of college football. I'll spare you the sport's never been in better shape. That means financially. I'm not sure it means psychologically or philosophically, but I am interested in people. I think his generation feels very similar to that. But I'll tell you, as somebody who has watched a lot of football throughout my life and career, I still can't wait to get to the season. I realize I have a stake in it, doing what we all do here every day, but I think there is a passion. I think the business model of college football right now is in very good shape. But there is a disconnect, and I'm curious about how many of you feel about that. We'll continue with more of your phone calls. You want to give us a ring, it's 855-242-7285. We're here until 7 o'clock, 2.5 more hours, so let us hear from you.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Ben McLaughlin, one of the best players in the SEC, getting ready for Texas Tech. Big game straight ahead. And back to the calls we go. And Yogue is up next. Hello, Yogue.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Yogue, not Yogue, but Yogue.
My deepest apologies.
Yeah. Well, we want to talk about that that caller Glenn who just called in, right? And first, I got a question too. Who besides Nick Saban, who's the best coach in Alabama history, Paul?
Are you seriously asking me that question?
Yeah. Well, actually, how about this? I'll get to what my point is. What's his record against Notre Dame besides Nick Saban, the best coach in Alabama history, huh?
Well, the best coach.
Because we know who it is, right? Because yeah, you. It was a dumb question.
Well,
I'm seriously asking what his record against these fighting Irish.
Okay. He is the coach you were referring to, Paul Bryant, never beat Notre Dame.
That's unfortunate. There.
It is.
So that caller about Notre Dame, he Glenn goes back. He said he got the loyalty, so he should remember that, right?
And the
caller
before that, the last time Coach Bryant met Notre Dame.
I tuned in a little late here.
But I think we need to give the audience a break from you. It's hard. There's such a thing as a run-on sentence. You have a run-on paragraph. Let's continue. John in Plano, Texas. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
You know, the conversation about Saban retiring and DeBoer being his successor seems to assume that DeBoer will never measure up to the GOAT, even though he may be a good coach in his own right. But the question I have for you is, I want to change the narrative just a bit, from, at least from what I've heard, that not even a GOAT is necessarily perfect, at least in all aspects of coaching. And so my question is, did Saban have any relative weaknesses in different aspects of coaching to the extent that we can expect DeBoer might be an improvement?
I would say mostly no, but I mean, there were occasional criticism of maybe once you got to the actual game. And by the way, what we're talking about here is nitpicking. We're not talking, I mean, nobody's ever been a better evaluator, a better developer, mm-hmm. a better recruiter. So I'm giving him number one in every category. Probably the one thing I would not say he was the best at was maybe in-game management. Occasionally there was a lapse or two, maybe three in his whole career, but not many.
Well, you know, I was just wondering your opinion on that. I know that he's allowing his assistant coach, or DeBoer will be allowing the assistant coaches a little bit more access to the media. Do you think that's an improvement?
John, as somebody who used to be a sports writer, I think it's completely irrelevant how much access the media gets to the program. Programs like Alabama don't need, if you're a small program, yeah, it's incredibly important to get access to get your program promotion. But Alabama takes care of that. And nowadays, you heard Griffith mention this. Most universities have their own publicity department right now that cover the team, and fans read it, and they read it gleefully. So I think it's an overrated thing, and I'm sure I'll be unhappy. I won't get invited to the next sports writer convention, but the truth is, it really doesn't matter whether the assistant coaches talk to the media or not.
Okay, well, I wanted to. Yeah, you may disagree with this, and just for one weakness, and to me, this prevents Saban from being the GOAT, the greatest of all time, because by definition, only one, is that I can't figure out how Saban changed the game of college football. He changed the fortunes of Alabama.
Yeah, John,
how did he change football?
Okay, I'll offer this, and I covered both, so I feel like I'm qualified. I think Bryant was more influential in his era than Saban. Saban forced a lot of change by his success. The one thing he probably brought into the game was the analyst room, where now every major program resembles the Dallas Cowboys. But I don't think the on-the-field play, because he fought the spread. I mean, he went to the NCAA committee, the coaches committee, and tried to slow it down, and was unsuccessful there. But I think, I also think the media is different today than it was during the Bryant era. There's less objectivity, so there's more GOAT compare. I mean, it doesn't take much to be a GOAT nowadays in the modern media. You just have to be omnipresent. Hey, thanks for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.